All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we are diving into a case that is really going to make you think about how the law works, how it should work, all that good stuff. We're talking Cohen v. Cowles Media Company, and let me tell you, this case has it all. Broken promises, First Amendment battles, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is not just some dry legal stuff from a textbook, you know? This case gets at those big questions of trust, ethics, even power dynamics. I mean, think about the relationship between journalists and the people who give them information. It can get pretty messy.
It sure can. Okay, so picture this. 1982, Minnesota. A gubernatorial race is going absolutely wild.
Oh, I remember those Minnesota elections. Always a roller coaster.
And Dan Cohen, who's connected to one of the campaigns, he's got some dirt on Marlene Johnson, the other candidate. But we're not talking rumors here. We're talking court records.
Oof, that's some serious stuff. So what's the catch?
Well, Cohen's only willing to spill the beans if the newspapers promise to keep his name completely out of it. Anonymity in exchange for information.
Sounds like a classic deal, right?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? The reporters, they agree to it, no problem. But then their editors step in and say, nope, we're publishing his name.
Oh, man, that's got to be a tough spot for those reporters. Promise one thing, then it gets overruled.
Exactly. It totally blew up. I mean, sure. Cohen loses his job, his reputation is shot, and he is rightfully furious. So what does he do? Sues the newspapers, of course.
You can't blame him. It's like they made a deal, then went back on their word. Seems pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, and that's where it gets interesting, because now you throw the First Amendment into the mix. Does freedom of the press mean journalists can break promises without any consequences? The courts had to grapple with that.
Huge implications there. We're talking about the very foundation of how journalism works. Can you trust a reporter, or are they just going to throw you under the bus for a good story?
And this case goes on quite a journey. We're talking trial court, Minnesota Court of Appeals, even the Minnesota Supreme Court. And get this, they side with the newspapers.
Wow, really? So the Minnesota Supreme Court basically said it's okay to break a promise if you're a journalist.
Pretty much, yeah. Their argument was that the First Amendment protects the right to publish, even if a promise gets broken along the way.
That's a bold stance, and it really shows you just how much Minnesota values freedom of the press.
But hold on, because this story isn't over yet. The case goes all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're like, not so fast.
Ooh, I can feel the tension building already. This is where things get good.
So the Supreme Court starts digging into this, and they make a really interesting point. They bring up this idea of generally applicable laws, meaning that even journalists, with all their First Amendment protection, still have to follow the same basic rules as everyone else.
It's kind of like saying, yeah, you've got special rights, but you're not above the law. Everyone's got to play by the same rules.
Exactly. It's a pretty powerful statement. The court was basically saying, we get it, a free press is important, but you can't just use that as an excuse to break the law or to treat people unfairly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like just because you're reporting the news doesn't give you a free pass to do whatever you want. There are consequences.
Right, and I think that's what makes this case so fascinating. To really understand the U.S. Supreme Court's decision, you got to look at what they focused on. And it wasn't so much about whether the information itself was protected speech. It was more about how the newspapers acted. You know, the fact that they broke a promise, which, legally speaking, is a big no-no.
Ah, so we're talking about promissory estoppel here. This legal principle basically says that if you make a clear promise and someone relies on that promise and gets harmed because of it, well, you can't just back out of it later, even if there wasn't a fancy contract or anything.
Precisely. In this case, Cohen relied on those newspapers' promise of anonymity. He only gave them that information because he thought they'd keep their word. And then they just published his name anyway, and it caused him real damage. Mm-hmm. The court said, nope, not cool. First Amendment or not, that's not how we do things.
You can almost picture the court drawing a line in the sand, right? Like they're saying, yes, freedom of the press is crucial, but it doesn't mean you can lie, cheat, or deceive people. It's all about balance.
Balance. That's the key word here. We're talking about balancing the public's right to know with the rights of the individuals involved in the story. And that brings us to those dissenting opinions, because not everyone was happy with how the Supreme Court ruled. There were some strong voices, especially from those Minnesota Supreme Court justices who really, really wanted to protect freedom of the press.
Oh, yeah. I bet those dissenting opinions were fiery. I mean, we're talking about justices who dedicated their careers to upholding the First Amendment.
They were definitely passionate about it. Justices Yetka and Kelly, in their dissent, They argued that the press should be held to the same standards as everyone else when it comes to promises. They were worried about something called the chilling effect.
The chilling effect. That's the idea that if sources can't trust journalists to keep their word, they'll just stop talking altogether, which would be a disaster for journalism, right? How are you supposed to uncover the truth if no one's willing to speak up?
Exactly. I mean, think about it. If you were a whistleblower or someone with inside information about something shady going on, would you risk talking to a reporter if you couldn't trust them to protect your identity?
Probably not. It's a huge risk. And that's what those dissenting justices were so concerned about. They felt like the Supreme Court's ruling could make it a lot harder for journalists to do their jobs, to hold powerful people accountable.
This case is like a giant tangled web, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got freedom of the press bumping up against individual rights, legal principles like promissory estoppel getting thrown around, and even different interpretations of what the First Amendment really means.
Yeah, it's a fascinating mess, and we're just getting started. Now, remember how the Minnesota Supreme Court tried to create a framework for navigating these super tricky situations? Like, how to decide when a journalist's promise should actually outweigh the public's right to know?
Yeah, they came up with those five factors, right? Tell me more about those. I have a feeling things are about to get really juicy.
So yeah, the Minnesota Supreme Court, they really tried to like lay down some ground rules for these situations where a journalist's promise, you know, kind of clashes with that whole public's right to know thing. And they came up with five factors to think about. First, there's the context of the story. Then you've got the potential chilling effect on future sources. Oh, and the state's interest in making sure people actually keep their promises. And then whether the source's identity is really newsworthy, you know, if it even matters. And finally, if revealing the source is like totally necessary for a fair and accurate story.
Okay, five factors. I'm trying to keep up here. Sounds kind of complicated. So, like, what do these factors actually mean when you're trying to make a decision?
All right, well, let's start with context. Think about it this way. A story about a local bakery using like expired ingredients is way different than a story about potential election fraud, right? The stakes are different. In Toen, the whole thing was happening during this crazy heated election, and the court felt like, you know, informing voters was super important. So they leaned towards the newspaper's right to publish.
So basically, in a really tense election, maybe the public's need to know kind of trumps a promise of confidentiality.
Yeah, that's the kind of tough choice this whole framework is trying to help us make. But then you've got the chilling effect to consider. Those dissenting justices, they were really worried that if newspapers could just break promises like willy-nilly without any consequences, then sources would just like disappear. Nobody wants to risk their job, their reputation, their whole life just to talk to a reporter if they can't even be sure their name will be kept secret.
I get it. It's a trust thing. If journalists get a reputation for like totally throwing their sources under the bus, well, who's going to want to talk to them? And then that can make it really hard to uncover the important stuff, you know, the stuff that really matters, hold those powerful people accountable.
Exactly. And that's where the state's interest in enforcing promises comes in. The courts have to like balance the importance of upholding contracts and protecting individual rights against the potential harm to, you know, the free flow of information. It's not easy, that's for sure.
It sounds like there are all these competing interests pulling in different directions, like a legal tug of war. On one side, you've got freedom of the press, and on the other side, you've got this right to rely on a promise.
Right. And then you add in that whole newsworthiness factor. Like, did those newspapers really need to publish Dan Cohen's name? Did it actually add anything important to the story, or were they just trying to, like, make it more exciting, maybe sell more papers? Who knows?
That's a tough one. I mean, sometimes revealing a source's identity is totally crucial to understanding the whole story. But other times, it feels kind of unnecessary, maybe even harmful.
You got it. And that's where that final factor comes in. Is revealing the source really essential for a fair and accurate story? Think about a whistleblower, you know, someone revealing government corruption. If we don't know who they are, how can we judge whether they're telling the truth, what their motives are?
Yeah, it's a real tightrope walk for journalists. So with all these factors swirling around, what did the Minnesota Supreme Court actually decide? Did they think those newspapers were in the right for breaking their promise?
Well, they did. They sided with the newspapers, saying that the First Amendment, especially in the context of, you know, a crazy election, held more weight than Cohen's right to stay anonymous. They felt like the public's need to know outweighed the harm that was done to him.
Wait a second, I'm getting confused now. Didn't you say the U.S. Supreme Court reversed that whole decision? If the Minnesota court thought the newspapers were in the clear. How did the Supreme Court end up disagreeing with them so strongly?
That's where it gets really interesting. See, the U.S. Supreme Court, they agreed that the First Amendment is super important, but they totally disagreed with how the Minnesota court, like, applied it. They kind of shifted the focus away from whether the information itself was protected speech and zoomed in on actions of the newspapers, like what they actually did.
So they weren't just looking at the story itself. They were looking at how those newspapers got the information in the first place. And I guess they weren't impressed.
Not at all. The U.S. Supreme Court basically said, listen, freedom of the press is huge. It's vital. But it doesn't give journalists a free pass to break the law or to act unethically, even if the information they're publishing is true and important.
So it wasn't about whether the information was right or wrong. It was about how those newspapers got it. And they weren't playing fair.
Nope, not at all. The U.S. Supreme Court was sending a clear message. They were basically saying, look, the press has a special role in our democracy, but that doesn't mean they're above the rules. They really drove that point home.
This case really shows you how complicated these issues can be. And it shows how carefully journalists have to think about what they're doing, you know, the choices they make and how those choices could affect people.
Absolutely. And it's not just about avoiding lawsuits or anything like that. It's about keeping the public's trust, making sure that information can flow freely. We've got to find ways to balance all these different interests. And that's something journalists deal with every single day. It's tough.
Okay, so we've talked about the legal battles, the different opinions flying around, all that stuff. But what does this all mean for journalism today? I mean, this case happened way back in the 80s. Things have changed a lot since then, right? I think a lot of our listeners are probably thinking the same thing right now. Like, okay, this Cohen v. Kallis case, it's messy, it's complicated, but it's also like ancient history, right? I mean, this was back in the 80s. Does this stuff even matter in today's world with 247 news and social media and all that?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And honestly, I think Cohen is even more relevant today than it was back then. I mean, think about it. We are absolutely drowning in information these days. Everyone's trying to figure out what's true, what's fake news, who to trust. It's a mess out there.
It really is. It feels like trust in media is, well, let's just say it's seen better days.
Yeah, exactly. So how does a case about some broken promises from way back when connect to the news landscape we're dealing with right now?
Well, because Cohen forces us to really confront something that's super fundamental to how journalism works, the relationship between journalists and their sources. Without trust, without some level of confidentiality, those sources just dry up. And in today's world, where misinformation spreads like wildfire, good journalism is more important than ever.
It's like this vicious cycle, right? The trust erodes, sources get scared and clam up, good reporting gets harder and harder, and then people just turn to these less reliable sources of information. It's a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. And think about how much the media landscape has changed since the 80s. Back then, it was mostly newspapers making these decisions. Now, it's bloggers, it's citizen journalists, it's those social media influencers. Everybody's got a platform. So those ethical questions that Cohen raised, they're even more widespread now. It's something everyone who's putting information out there needs to think about. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So let's say I'm a journalist today, or even just someone running a small blog or a podcast. What are the big lessons I should take away from this whole Cohen v. Kallis saga?
Well, first and foremost, transparency is key. Be upfront with your sources about what you can and can't promise them. And then always, always, always weigh the potential harm of revealing someone's identity against the public's need to know. Sometimes protecting your source is more important than getting that, you know, that big scoop.
It's about making responsible choices,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because the impact of those choices, it could be huge, just like it was for Dan Cohen. The guy lost his job, his reputation, all because he trusted those newspapers to keep their word.
And that's the big takeaway from Cohen v. Kallis, I think. Journalistic freedom, it's precious, it's protected, but it's not a license to act recklessly. Every decision a journalist makes has ethical weight. You have to think about the consequences.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Cohen v. Kallis, what's the big thought-provoking question you want to leave our listeners with?
I think it comes down to this. We live in a world that is absolutely flooded with information, and it can be hard to know what to believe. Now more than ever, we need journalists who are going to act responsibly, ethically. Cohen reminds us that a truly free press, a press that we can trust, relies on trust from both sides. Trust from the public and trust from those brave people who are willing to share their stories.
Well said. It's a good reminder that even when we're pursuing the truth, even when we're trying to get the whole story, those ethical considerations, they should always be guiding our actions. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll catch you next time, ready to explore another fascinating corner of the legal world.